Esther chapter 4, verse 13. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do you think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape? For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. And so for a moment we will talk about position for what purpose? Position for what purpose? In biblical history, there have always been nations that have arose with a dominance, authoritarian force. And during this time, under that authoritarian rule was the Babylonian, who was under the kingship of King Nebuchadnezzar. And under his rule, the Babylonian ruled with an iron fist, and they conquered Jerusalem. And in their conquering of Jerusalem during 485 BC, simply before Christ, is that they captured many Jews and they took them into captivity. And the Jews were in Babylonian captivity for about 70 years. And while the Babylonians had an opportunity to rule and reign for such a long time, on the horizon was another dominant nation by the name of the Persians. And the Persians were under the kingship of King Xerxes. And under King Xerxes, he had aspirations to be the apex of his time. And in order for you to be the top dog, you got to beat the top dog. And so they had went into battle with the Babylonians, and they defeated the Babylonians in their battle and in their conquest to be the apex of their rulership during that time. And under Xerxes, he freed the Jews and he gave them the opportunity to return to their country, to Jerusalem. But many of them resided in Persia and they stayed there and they stayed under the empire and the rulership of Xerxes the king in a place called Susa. Now this is important for us because it's going to explain why the statement that we hear all the time, for such a time as this, and this will help us to better appreciate what Esther was all about. There are many biblical arguments or debate on who wrote Esther, whether it's Ezra or the other individual himself, Mordecai. However, whoever wrote it is very important to us because it has a message that can help us or aid us in a time such as this. Now, three questions we want to ask this morning. What happened? How did it happen? And why did it happen? Well, in the book of Esther, King Xerxes had served for nearly 3 years. And in his serving for 3 years, it was customary for kings during this time to show how powerful or how rich they were by throwing lavish parties. And so history tells us, and the Bible says that King Xerxes, after 3 years of ringing as the apex kingdom or governing body at that time, that he threw a party that lasted 6 months. Now that's a long party. Now he threw a party and he invited all of the dignitaries throughout the kingdom. and doing all this time. Now, King Xerxes was the predecessor of Darius, which was his father. And it was custom for the firstborn to assume the kingship. But we know that Darius in history, he had a son prior to Xerxes who was born. But because Xerxes was born during the time when King Darius was actually king, it forfeited the rights of his first son to receive the kingship. And why Xerxes was chosen over his first brother in order to take the kingship. So it brings us to this point. So during this time, there was a 3-year reign. And so Xerxes said, listen, I want to let everybody know that the palace that my daddy was building is now complete. And how do I show this off? And how did I show them how powerful and how wealthy I am? It's by throwing a lavish party. And he invited all of the dignitaries to come and to party and to kick it with him for 6 long months. He was partying at the kingdom. They had wine. They drank. They ate. They had women and men. And they did a whole lot of different things that transpired. A lot of this is familiar. If you remember the movie 300, a lot of these different things. Are going, y'all, I know. Listen, this is where they got 300 from. Xerxes was a real individual. And he did a lot of wicked things during his time. So King Xerxes is partying for 6 months. So he parties with all of the dignitaries. He sends them away, and then he throws a 7-day party for all of the common folk. That's for those of us who didn't really have any money. He brings all of the people in his province together, and he parties 7 days with them. And while he's drinking and partying with these men, his wife, Vashti, is also throwing a party for the women that reside in his kingdom. This is important. Watch, we're going somewhere. Xerxes, he's drinking, he's getting drunk, he's having fun, he's doing all these different things, and the men that are gathered at the party with Xerxes asks about seeing his wife. Xerxes is proud of his wife. She's a beautiful woman. And so Xerxes said, listen, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask my wife, the queen. I want her to wear her crown, and I want her to present herself before these men who I'm partying and I'm drinking with. Now somebody says, why is that a big issue? All the king did was ask for his wife to come before this group of men who were partying. Well, there is not a lot of implication or a lot of information. There's more a speculation behind what was happening. It is believed that Xerxes was simply asking her to appear before him and these men only wearing her crown because she was such a beautiful woman. He wanted to display her to show everybody else how beautiful she was. She refused to come. If you refuse the advances or the command from your king, there were consequences that were going to happen. Well, what was those consequences that occurred? Queen Vashti sent messages back and said, no, I'm not coming before you, king. No, I'm not going to be on display. These are drunken men. They've been drinking, sitting around, talking about me. You expect me to go before them? What dangers could happen if I was to present myself before these drunken men? What could happen to me? But King Xerxes wasn't thinking about that. He was thinking about, I want to show you off and let everybody know who you are and what you represent to me. And so the Bible says that he's angry and he's frustrated behind what happened. Y'all look straight. Let's go and let's look at some Bible and show you some things, and then a lesson will be yours. In chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Let's go to Esther chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. He had been in rule for 3 years, and this is what began to, he's partying, he's doing all these different things. And so in chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, what happens? Read.
In the 3rd year of his reign, he made a feast unto the princes of all princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, and notable and princes and novices before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 140 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in the Shushan, the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden.
Drop down to verse 11 and 12.
To bring Vashti the queen before the king and the crown royal to shew the people and the princes of her beauty, for she was laid to look upon. But then Queen Vashti refused to come to the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him.
All right, drop down to verse number 19. And we're going to show you what happened.
If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let him be written among the laws of the Persians and Medes, that if not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give a royal state unto another that is better than she.
Okay, so listen, this is what happened. King Ahasuerus, which is Xerxes, the same thing. Queen Vashti, she disses him, simply saying. He was embarrassed. He was before his common folk. They were men. Word got back that, listen, she embarrassed you. And if she can do this to the king, then what about me as a common man with no power or authority? Stay with me now. So King Xerxes calls some leaders, and he bring them together, and he asks them, what should I do? How should I deal with this situation that has just embarrassed me? They said, listen, Doc, we can't have the rest of the women folk acting up when we get home. I can't come back home and my wife start checking me because you didn't check your queen. This is what he's saying. You can read the text, because he said, this is an embarrassment. And he said, this is what I'm going to suggest that you do in order to save face. Well, Xerxes said, well, what is it that I need to do? He says, dismiss her. Well, what does it mean that she cannot appear before the king anymore? Well, simply mean he was going to get rid of her. He was going to divorce her. He was going to cast her away, and he was going to replace her with another queen. Stay with me now. This is good. This is a good read. Xerxes sends out a decree, and he says that, listen, you have embarrassed me. You have shamed me. In order for me to get back at you, he never considered the fact that he was shaming his queen by trying to put her on display. All he cared about was his imagery. And so in order for what God had in place to happen, this was necessary. Yeah, this is a good read. Listen, throughout the whole book of Esther, you will never see God mentioned once in this whole book of Esther. Which simply means that God don't always have to be visible to be present. Oh, yeah. Listen. God don't always have to be visible. He don't always have to display himself to let us know that he is present among us. Sometimes we always look at, show me a sign, God. Show me something. Show me that you exist. God don't have to do anything for us and to us to let us know that he exists among us. And this is what was happening throughout the book of Esther. God didn't have to display himself in order to show what he was trying to make happen. This is important. Now watch this. So here it is. The king, he sends out a decree, and he said, listen, I need to find somebody else in order to replace my queen who has just embarrassed me. What happened? King Xerxes does what? He throws a party. He gets drunk. His queen disrespects him. And in turn, he does what? He gets rid of her. How did this thing happen? Well, one of his manservants told him, listen, you need to write almost a divorce or dismiss her. And he says, listen, we're going to send out a decree among all of the beautiful virgins that live within this province. And we're going to find you somebody else who's going to do what? Who's going to replace Queen Vashti. But what was going to happen is very unique, because among these women that are being looked at, there is a young lady by the name of Esther. What makes this unique? Esther was a Jewish girl. She was a poor Jewish girl who was raised by the man by the name of Mordecai. Sweet history. They go out and they're looking throughout the province, searching, and they notice this Jewish girl, unbeknownst to them that she's even Jewish, but she is just a beautiful young lady who's been raised by this gentleman by the name of Mordecai. Y'all follow me? I don't want us to read all these chapters. He's trying to give us some summations. Mordecai adopts his niece because her parents are killed, and he takes her in and he raises her as his own daughter. He raises her, and she's a beautiful, very attractive. And the Bible says that when she came before King Xerxes, that even before the other women got a chance to even present themselves, he says, stop, that's enough. He chooses her, makes her his queen. Mordecai said, listen, don't tell them that you are a Jew, because there's consequences if you unveil yourself to them. Mordecai instructs her on how to behave and what is necessary for her to survive. And the Bible says that now she is Queen Esther. Esther is now in a prominent position and role, and then Mordecai is promoted into the kingdom. Help us see this. They get to the point where Mordecai, he's listening and he has his ear to the pulse of what's going on. And the Bible says that there were two men who were responsible for King Xerxes, and somehow, for whatever reason, they became angry with him and they were frustrated with King Xerxes and they plotted to kill him. Mordecai hears this thing. He has a relationship with Queen Esther. He says, Esther, listen, I heard they're going to try to take your husband out. Tell him to prepare himself. And the Bible says that he does what? He investigates this thing, find out that this thing is so, and he hangs these two men. When someone does a deed of that magnitude, it is tradition that the king awards that individual by giving them whatever they ask for when they do such a deed such as that. King Xerxes forgot to acknowledge what Mordecai did, but there was a written record for what he had done. It went into the record book. Stay with me now. It's in the record book. But King Xerxes does not acknowledge Mordecai at this time. There is another man by the name of Haman that King Xerxes decides to elevate into the kingdom. Haman was a member or a descendant of the Amalekites. Oh, y'all got to see this thing for it to open up for us now. Haman is elevated in the kingdom. He's given all this authority and power. And the first thing he asked for is that King Xerxes said, listen, in order to recognize Haman, everybody need to bow and to pay homage to Haman. Mordecai is a Jew. He knows the history of what? The Amalekites. Come on now, church, stay with me now. Who were the Amalekites? They fought against the Israelites. Come on, y'all. Yeah, y'all don't remember that? When they exit out of bondage. On their way to Canaan. What happened? The Amalekites attacked them for no apparent reason. And God made it so that it wasn't be what? That they were the mortal enemies of the Jews throughout. Come on. Years had passed. Years had passed. Now we're under King Xerxes' leadership. He elevates Amalekite, puts him in charge. He says you need to bow and recognize this Amalekite. Mordecai knew the history of his people. He refused to do what? To bow down and acknowledge Haman. Word got back to Haman. He said, hold up. Who is this man who despises me and fails to recognize me? Mordecai tells him, listen, I am a Jew and I don't respect you. Even though you didn't have anything to do with what happened, you are a descendant of what happened. So he says, you know what? I'm going to get back at you. He goes to King Xerxes. He asks him to put a decree. He says, there are a group of people among you that lives among our kingdom that refuse to pay homage to the decree that you've set out. They don't respect you. He never identifies who these people are. Because Xerxes, remember, he did what? He freed the Jews. He knew that Jews lived among him. And so he was okay with the Jewish people staying among him. But Haman was a descendant of what? The Amalekites. He knew that his bloodline had a what? Had a rich history against the Jewish people. He finds out that Mordecai is what? A Jew. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take every last one of you out. Esther is what? A Jew. She is Xerxes' what? Queen. Not only is she his queen, his wife, but he loves Esther now. But he don't know that she's a Jew. Mordecai is what? A Jew. Mordecai is Esther what? Adopted daddy now. Word gets out that there's a decree to take out what? All of who? The Jews. Mordecai reads the decree. The Bible says that he rips his garments and he goes into the sackcloth and the ashes of mourning and of repentance, because he is hurting that a decree has went out to destroy all of the Jews. And it says that it was Jews was crying throughout the whole province. They were shouting and yelling and wailing, and they were crying out. Mordecai said, hold up, I got somebody else in place who probably can do some things. Now, remember what we read? For what? For such a time as this. Yeah. Esther never knew why God put her in place. How is it that I was selected among all of the women that you saw? You put me in a position for what purpose? Help us see this. God sometimes does things with us. And he places us strategically in various forms and positions throughout our life. And sometimes we ask, why and how did I get to where I am? And the question is, for such a time as this. Somebody asks, well, what is the church supposed to be doing in times like this? When we hear about school shootings and killings and different things, coming into the sanctuary is good, but there's much more that all of us should be trying to do. For what? For such a time as this. Get here. I'm almost finished. Mordecai gets the word back to Esther. And I'm speeding this thing along so we can get out of here. He gets this thing back, and Haman, he's pretty ticked off about Mordecai. Sometimes you can go and read. I don't want to go through all the verses, but he started going home to his wife and his friends, and he said, man, listen, got this boy, man, he causing issues for me. And he said, you know what you need to do? You need to build a gallows. And you need to hang that rascal from that gallows. And you need to show them, the Jews, you mean business. Because he can't disrespect you. Because the Bible says that every time Haman would pass by the gate, he would see Mordecai. And everybody else would bow and worship him. But Mordecai wasn't bowing and worshiping. And it was messing his mind up. And it was frustrating. He would be having a good day. He'd be skipping along, singing his song. And then all of a sudden, he'd look at the gate. Everybody else is bowed down. Mordecai standing with the sackcloth and the ashes on his head. Said, I won't bow before you. Why? Because I know who you are and what people you come from. And I don't have any respect for you. And that bothered him. Goes to King Xerxes and said, listen. And he talks about displaying this individual who had did such a thing. And so Esther gets back to her. And we're going to read this and then the lesson will be yours. Let's go to Esther chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 1 and I'm going to read. It says, when Mordecai learned of all that had been done, that he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Said, when Esther, eunuchs, and females attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. Why? My daddy. He's told me to keep my nationality a secret. Not only that, if you didn't receive an invitation to go before the king, then you would be killed if you just showed up without an invitation. Wife or no wife, if King Xerxes didn't summons you to him and you showed up before the king unannounced, then your life was in the king's hand. Word gets back and she's upset and she's bothered by what's going on. Mordecai gets to Esther and he says, listen, I'm gonna need you to do something for us. What you need, daddy? I need you to go before your husband and I need you to beg for our lives. Why? Esther said, why should I do a thing like this? If I go, I might be killed if I go before the king without a summons. Mordecai said, hold up. So what? You might be killed. But the question you need to be asking yourself, why were you given this opportunity? It was for such a time as this. Tell him what Haman is doing. Explain to him the situation and see if you can persuade him to change his mind before he tries to kill us. Esther dresses herself up and stands in the doorway of the king because he loved her so much. When he saw her, he quickly summons her. Come here, baby. Yeah, come on in. Sit right next to King Xerxes and tell me what's on your mind. So she shows up and start batting them big eyes to him, blinking and smiling and stuff. And Xerxes asks, what is it can I do for you? Esther said, hold on, baby, I ain't finished yet. Because I got to ask you something big to do. What is it? Don't act like that. She batting them eyes next to you now. Get that whole wallet up. Yeah, listen. So here it is that Xerxes is sitting on his throne. And Esther says, listen, what's wrong? You're distressed. She begins to explain to him about the decree that has gone out. And she reminds him of the award or the acknowledgement of Mordecai. Y'all don't see this. Xerxes says, man, I forgot about that. Mordecai, yeah, he did what? He say, so Xerxes says, bring the books and prove to me what you're talking about. Remember, everything is recorded now. Brings the books to him. Haman now is already arrogant, and he's running around saying, listen, I'm going to hang this man. I'm going to put him on display. I'm going to do this terrible thing to him, and I'm going to destroy all the rest of him from out of this kingdom. The Bible says that Xerxes finds out, listen, oh, it's in the record books that I owe this man an acknowledgement. Well, what is a request? Spare his life and spare the life of the people. Queen Esther. Let's read. Y'all looking straight. I know y'all like to read a little bit, so we ain't going. He says then in verse number 15 in chapter 4. Before she goes and does all these things to King, she tells him, listen, I need you to go, and you and the rest of the Jews, I need y'all to get together, and I want you to begin to fast for me. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, now listen, this is his wife telling him that I could lose my very life. He's my husband. He's my husband, but he will kill me. If I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. Chapter 5, I'm very quickly, it says, on the third day, Esther put on her what? Her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace. She was in the doorway. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her, and he held out to her the gold scepter that was in the hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Listen to this. He says, and he says, what is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom. He was saying, listen, I give you half of my kingship to make you happy. Esther said, I don't need all of that. I just need one thing from you. He says that if it pleases the king, replied Esther, let the king together with Haman come today to a banquet I have prepared for him. Well, what was Esther getting ready to do? She was finna set it up, bring the enemy of the Jews before the king. And she was going to reveal to her husband that the decree that went out, not only does it affect the people in the kingdom, but it affects the very one who you love. And I'm going to tell you who's the one who's responsible for such a thing as this. The woman who you love and who you guarded to come near you and who you love being with is about to be destroyed based on this long old history that has plagued our people. Bring Haman at once, the king said, so that we may what? Do what Esther asked. So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. As they were drinking wine, the king again asked Esther, now what is your petition? It will be given you. And what is your request? Even up to half, the king said, Esther replied, my petition, my request is that if the king regards me with favor and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet. And he goes on to say, Haman went out that day happy and in high spirits, but when he saw Mordecai, he got upset again. Here this defiant man. And I'm a person with high regards. Y'all got time. Y'all go back and read. This will make you want to read the rest of the verse. He goes back home. His wife said, listen, I need you to make an example. Don't be coming home all pouting face. You got the authority to go back. Build this gallows. And I want you to hang Mordecai on it. If you read, says Esther reveals to her husband that the decree will affect her. And who was the person that did such a thing? Who is the person who dare send a decree that's going to take my baby away? Who is the person? Where is he? I got my man right here, and I'm going to send him out. Esther leans over, baby. Person who we supping with is the one who done such a thing. What? This rascal sitting at my table, and you gonna kill my baby? Guards, guards. Says Haman began to plead to Esther, Esther, save me. I'm sorry. Esther said, oh no. You want to take my daddy and all of us out? Daddy, do what you gotta do, baby. They said they took the same gallop. There were men. It said, listen, Haman built a nice gallow to hang somebody on it. Xerxes said, what? Take that rascal to the same gallow that he had for Mordecai. And I want you to hang him on him in front of his family and show everybody that Esther is with me. For such a time as this. We often ask, why did God put me in this position? Why did God give me this job? How did I get elevated? For what reason? If you think it's simply to please yourself, or simply only to benefit you, then you haven't answered the question yet. For what times? These are terrible. We talk about them all. Yeah, these are terrible times. These are terrible times. The question, what are you doing about these times? What are you doing about the things that you hear that's happening around you? Since I'm not all into politics and all the different things, but you live in this world, and we know that we're going to be exiting this world someday. But while we are here, we have a great responsibility as children of God. We have to do our part. We cannot sit back and see all this vitriol and hatred go on around us and not be concerned. Things should bother our spirits. Someone say you are not bothered until it hits home. Until what? Somebody come knocking at your door one day. I don't ever want to experience that type of phone call or turn on the news and you see your school where your child is in school at, and you are at work and you're panicking. You're trying to figure out as a parent, the phone is not being picked up. I'm calling and nobody is returning the call. Can you imagine the emotion of parents feeling that way? Some of us are so detached. The world that's going on around us, that we are not effective anywhere in our lives as children of God. You don't have to be perfect and you don't have to know every answer to every question, but you should be doing something more than what you're doing now. And some of you are doing things, and that's a good thing. So don't ever stop doing what you're doing because somebody else is trying to block you from doing something. Why? God. Take a Jewish girl who had no royal blood in her, who came from no wealthy family, raised by an adopted parent, end up on display in a king's house, chosen by a tyrant by the name of Xerxes, smitten by her beauty at a time when her whole family and friends and all those who was a part of her nationality were about to be wiped out from the empire. Why did God use me? It was for such a time as this. Yeah, he saw your beauty, but I saw your value. And I took what he saw and I used it for such a time as this. I took your beauty and I made it your weapon in order to persuade this tyrant to do what was needed to be done. You all can read on throughout Esther. But that's statement that we always hear, well, such a time as this. Why? Why are we still here? It's for such a time as this. Why are we trying to transition? It's the things that we are needed to do, and God requires some things of us. Why are you still here? Why am I still here? God, why haven't you moved me on? I need you, and I'm still asking you. It's for these times that I'm requiring you. I'm done. I'm not going to drag it on. If you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's church, then God affords you that opportunity. He extends that Savior invitation to you. And if you accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God and you're obedient to his word and you go down in the water grave of baptism, and God will add you to his family, raise you up a new creature. And if you are a member of the Lord's church and you just need prayer and you're trying to figure out, what's my purpose? Why is it that God has placed me where I am? Think about it. It's for such a time as this. And if you are here and you're subject to the invitation in a way, come now as we stand and sing this.